The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
Hello, you're listening to The Netball Show with Flyhawk. I'm Chloe, and today I have the pleasure of being joined by Australian netball oracle and freelance journalist Erin Delahunty. And on the agenda today is the 2022 Suncorp Super Netball season. Australia's premier netball competition will get underway this Saturday, March 26th, and there are no shortages of talking points ahead of this league start, which takes place, of course, against the backdrop of this summer's Commonwealth Games, July and August. The off-season was busy. There were several moves that looked set to have major consequences, not least the arrival of England Rose Ebony Osorio-Brown to the Queensland Firebirds, but more on that later. The reigning premiers are the New South Wales Swifts, home of Helen Housby, and formerly that of Nat Metcalfe, who has since up sticks to Manchester Thunder. With so much to unpick, Erin, I think we first ought to start with the teams. There are, of course, eight of them, so it's going to be a little bit of a whistle-stop tour. What better place is there to begin with our defending champions, the Swifts? What do you make of them heading into round one? Is this a team that can go back-to-back?
Oh, look, why can't they go back-to-back? I think that's the question, Chloe. I mean, obviously, they've lost Sophie Garbin. They've lost Lauren Moore. As you mentioned just now, they've lost Nat Metcalfe. But if you think about it, that starting seven that we have seen for the bulk of the last couple of years remains intact, as, of course, you know, does the coaching line. So it is pretty hard to go past the Swifts. And I had a bit of a chat to Paige Hadley at the season launch a few weeks ago, and they're just embracing that pressure. They want to be the hunted. They do. I mean, they've also added Ali Smith in as well, who's a really handy addition, but I think they're not going to quite have the depth that they have had previously. So that's potentially an issue for them. And then we've been learning over the last couple of days too that Sam Wallace has been managing quite a difficult knee injury. So they really need to stay fit and COVID-free, which I'm sure we'll touch on throughout our chat today. But I think you'd be pretty silly to bet against them. I have absolutely been guilty of that in the past. And you do that at your peril.
Okay, so it's looking good for the Swifts then, we think. They're going to be, do you reckon we're putting them in the top four?
Oh, definitely in the top four, but I think it really depends on them staying fit and what impact COVID had. We saw it at the Team Girls Cup, the preseason tournament recently, how quickly injuries and COVID across the board can hit a team. I love Helen Housby, big fan, but you know, I didn't really like the idea of her sitting there coaching at a preseason tournament because Bryony couldn't be there and then Beck Bully was ill. It was maybe a little bit of an indication of what we might see this season, you know, being quite serious about it. If COVID goes through these teams, the Swifts, you know, Helen Housby lives with two of her teammates and you've got a bunch of the other ones living together. If you do have a COVID outbreak and they've got to meet the protocols, it can potentially be more than one player, Chloe. This isn't going to be a one player here and one player there. And we've still only got 10 in our squads. We haven't heard anything from administrators about how that might change to deal with this. Is there maybe going to be a pool of other players and training partners, or are they allowed to travel with training partners? I think this is, I mean, it's big for everybody, but I've got a real asterisk there next to the Swifts because I've got Kelly Singleton to shoot, but she's not Helen Housby, is she?
Yeah, of course. And actually we've seen in the Super League just in the last round, Team Bath had their entire defensive end taken out. And that's Layla Guscoth and Pumza Moeni out, which is a huge
pretty handy defensive end.
Them gone. So and they suffered a loss, and you certainly wouldn't have picked that. And you know, Ellie Cardwell was actually out for Manchester Thunder. So yeah, we're starting to get a sense of that, and we're certainly seeing that this season might have some odd results because of COVID. So yeah, that's definitely something to keep an eye on for sure. Certainly as the travel between the states, obviously in Australia. As well. So, okay, so we got the Swifts in. Next up, Fever, who picked up Dan Ryan in the off-season from Leeds Rhinos over here. Now, he's been on a bit of a coaching journey himself, but he's back in Australia at the helm of Fever, formerly the team of Stacey Marinkovic, now the Diamonds coach. What do you think we can expect from the team in green this year? Is this maiden title time?
Look, we've been talking about this maiden title for a couple of years, haven't we, Chloe, mm-hmm. about they've got the cattle. That's a terrible football term that we use in Australia. But they have always had that. They've had Jeneile Fowler, you know, multiple league MVP and club MVP. They've got arguably the best goalkeeper in the world at Courtney Bruce. They've probably got the best young emerging defender in Sunday Ariang as well. But they haven't been able to get it done. So I'm really intrigued by the addition of Chelsea Pittman, of course, an English Rose, who has been added as a training partner. So not a full contracted player, not in the 10. So again, going back to what we're saying about COVID, if and when and how Chelsea gets an opportunity, I think that is really key for the Fever. They can't continue doing what they have been doing because as close as they have been and as grand finals that they have played in, they haven't been able to get over the line. If you can strangle that feed and that drive into Jeneile Fowler, you're a good way to beating the Fever, even if you only beat them by one or two, like we saw the Vixens do in the Team Girls Cup final just recently. I think Chelsea Pittman is a big key to that, and that's to not deride Verity Simmons or Emma Koch or you know, Jess Anstis, anyone else that's there at the Fever. But I think she's a really key piece of that puzzle. But how she gets there is another issue. And of course, Rudy Ellis has joined the Fever as well. And that does give them a bit of flexibility in defense. And when you've got someone like Courtney Bruce, having someone as a backup to her to let her potentially go out to goal defense, to maybe send Sunday to wing defense, that gives them a pretty formidable defensive end as well. So I think there might be a few minor tweaks. Dan Ryan is you guys know better than us probably. You've seen him up close in the Super League. He's a competitive beast and he's not going to die wondering. We saw him make a lot of changes, have a look at different combinations at Team Girls Cup. So, I mean, I can't have everyone in my top four. I know this, but Fever have to be in there. They've been one of the form teams for a number of years. For them, it's about taking that extra step.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so curious to see where Chelsea Pittman goes. I think everybody with thinking about the Commonwealth Games, which is another backdrop we've got going into this, is curious to see what happens to her, not least because we're well aware our wing attack, Bibb, yeah, really good on Nat Metcalf and we love it. It's just not sustainable. We can't imagine her playing a full Commonwealth Games in it. So, and Chelsea, having put her hand up, certainly looks like she could head in there. And obviously, with Serena Guthrie now out, which is shocking news in and of itself. And we'll come to that as well. Absolutely something English fans should certainly be keeping an eye out for is Chelsea Pittman in the Fever.
And so, Herb, even she can put her hand up now. She's in the system. So I think that was the first hurdle that she had to get over. But she also has got to get on the court, Chloe. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. You know, Jess has got to have something to pick her off. So that's really key.
Yeah, exciting. I'm really interested to see where that one goes. And then next up, the Melbourne Vixens. We have 2020 premieres and then picked up last year's Wooden Spoon. That's quite a fall from grace. And not surprising, really, given the major outs they had, including, obviously, the injury to Diamonds captain Lizzie Watson. But she's back and we know she's back. We saw just how good she is and how back she really is in January. I see you've already highlighted the Vixens' defence as one to watch, Erin. What are we saying about Victoria's team?
Look, I mean, that defence end just gives me life. It just gives me absolute life. The belief that those players have when you've got players that have been playing together for a number of years, particularly when you look at Joe Weston and Em Mannix. Em Mannix has been a bit unlucky with a couple of strange and niggly injuries in the last 12. Yeah, she's a bit like Helen Housby. She gets all these weird injuries that you think, how did you manage to do that to yourself? But I can't go past them. I mean, I think the Fever we just talked about, but I can't go past the Vixens. They're certainly my favourite at the moment. They're a very proud club. Last year was not acceptable to Victorian netball fans and to the Melbourne Vixens. They were embarrassed by that performance, and they should be. They did lose, they lost a lot of experience, particularly in the shooting end, you know, to have two starting shooters that won you a grand final, who've both played for the Diamonds, walk out the door at the end of one season is going to have a huge impact on any team. And then to add Liz Watson to that, I mean, we hate saying that one team, one player in a team can win you a game. That rule is absolutely true unless it's Liz Watson. That's the caveat for me, because she just is the engine room of that attack end. Picking up Kira Austin, everyone's talking about Sophie Garbin from Swifts to Collingwood. Kira Austin, if she can get fit, if she can get through these first four or five rounds, I understand she'll be on, you know, a reduced load. You know, she won't come in full ball. If she can reclaim the form that we saw at the start of last season, which, oh my goodness, feels like a lifetime ago, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. When she went down in Adelaide with that awful ACL scream that we're all too familiar with. If she can get back to where she was, and then you've got Kamwenda behind her, and then you've got Rani Samerson, who really is the most exciting young player that we've seen for many years, I think, in Australia, because she does play the game differently. She, you know, she has a different approach. She's so strong through her body. She can post up, but she can also hold. She can also lead. She's creative. She's smart. And we've seen that she just has no fear of putting up that shot as well. So I think the Vixens have got to be in one or two. They have lost, you know, they have lost Katie Ann Dehaney, but you add Olivia Lewis into there, and all of a sudden that defense end doesn't look like it's got many holes in it. I mean, Simone McInnes just has an embarrassment of riches, as far as I'm concerned, at both ends, but particularly defensively.
So we think, would you say they have the most depth of all the teams?
Yeah, look, I do think so. I mean, you still are going to have, you know, particular matchups might be hard for them, but someone like a Hannah Mundy, who last year was kind of thrust into the spotlight, first year out of the gate, she's now got that hardened experience under her belt. So she needs to be injected into a game. She's in a much different place to, say, someone else that's a first-year player. So the depth, particularly in the attack end, is really exciting. I mean, Ruby Barkmeyer has dropped down to being a training partner, but we've seen what she was able to do at Team Girls Cup. Her and Rani played all of those minutes, and they won that trophy with those two young players without arguably their two best shooters. So that's the best advertisement you can have for depth, I think, when they just get the job done.
Yeah, that's quite a scary prospect, really, actually. And add in a bit of vengeance in there, and I think we might have quite a good cocktail for the Vixens. So yeah, they're exciting. And then I think the other team that caught, certainly talking about Team Girls Cup here, the Thunderbirds, because for years they've kind of been dwelling at the bottom of the table with sort of lingering concerns about their team culture. But this unit looked dangerous, and they've always had some serious international talent, but the Shamira Sterling-Natanya Wilson pairing, obviously for Jamaica, just looks every day, every time I see it, it gets better. Do we think they might now be out to get scalps and get them for good?
I really hope they are, because there's been so much talent at that club for so long. And the Thunderbirds really, I mean, they have been really strong on that South Australian pathway and promoting, you know, their leadership group is purely South Australian, but they have managed to kind of sprinkle in these internationals. Sometimes it's worked, sometimes it hasn't. You know, we saw Kat Tuivasa, that was really exciting, and then she became injured, and obviously Layla, you know, came and went as well. But I think that pairing in defence is really exciting, and I think your analysis is bang on. Every minute that they play together, they seem to be better, and I feel as if they don't have to rewrite the script on how they play. Anytime you've got a new defensive combo, sometimes you've got to go, oh, okay, you're a taller keeper, you stick back, or you're someone who likes to go for a fly. And there's that chemistry that's got to happen, right, between those two circle defenders. But I feel as if potentially with those two, the chemistry is already right. I think they're a good fit together. And it's exciting down the other end as well. They've got plenty of shooting depth this year. Adding Tipper Dewan, very, very handy, particularly when we look at the super shot. We know how impactful that can be. So, yeah, I do think the Thunderbirds will take a few scalps this year, but I don't want to see them take a few scalps. I actually want to see them be a genuine threat to teams. I feel like they've had that moniker for a few seasons now, like, oh, they might pop up, they might beat someone, but, you know, that really they're not that good. And I think that they can mature, hopefully mature past that this year to be a genuine chance and to build on really a core of players that have been there for a couple of years. We just talked about the Vixens. You can't underestimate that sort of side of it as well when you've got players that are used to playing together, they believe in each other, they, you know, they do the hard work. You've, you know, Georgie Horgis, Matilda Garrett, Nasey Mankerville, Hannah Petty, these names, Lanise, they've all been there for a couple of seasons now. So hopefully they can put their foot down and give Tanya Opst a bit of a reward for, as you say, what has been a tough couple of seasons.
Hi, I'm Juva Mentor and you're listening to The Netball Show.
And talking of tough couple of seasons, it feels appropriate to move on to the Magpies, you alluded to it earlier, of course, pulled off probably one of the biggest steals of the off season. Not unlike their namesake, went for something shiny and went for diamonds. Sophie Garber, you know, it's almost like a planet. But Collingwood have never gone the distance, despite having all the names and the branding and everything to go with it. Is this going to be another year of potential disappointment?
Look, I have been stung by drinking the Collingwood Kool-Aid before, Chloe. I've written about this lots, you know. They came into the competition and we all said, on paper, this team should win the league. When you had Jeeva Mentor and you had Nat Medhurst, Maddie Brown, remember her? and we thought they absolutely have, you know, they have the players to get this done. And time again, they have failed. They haven't lived up to both the external expectations, but also the internal expectations. I think, you know, for your listeners in the UK, this is the Man U of the Australian sporting landscape, you know, like they expect excellence and they expect success regardless of if it's netball or not. They're not particularly worried, fans of Collingwood. They just want results. So they absolutely have been guilty of not reaching their full potential. Sophie Garben, as you say, probably the biggest shift that we saw in the off season. Really interesting because I think we're going to see her predominantly at goal attack, not back a goal shooter, where I think traditionally most people think she is strongest. But I don't think you can underestimate the fact that she's going to be partnering with Kelsey Brown. So the dynamic between the two of them will be really interesting to watch. They've become very firm friends very quickly since Sophie came to the club. So if that chemistry can translate onto the court, that's really something really exciting. And down the, you know, they've always had really good defensive stocks, obviously. But this injury that Jeeva Mentor is carrying at the moment, a little bit like a few other people we'll talk about later, if this is a 1 or 2 week injury, that's fine. It's not going to have much of an impact. But, you know, she's getting around in a moon boot throughout the week. I know anyone who's had an injury, you're in a moon boot to take pressure off so that you're not putting any weight on that injury at all. So the idea that that's going to suddenly come off on a weekend, she's going to be able to play at 100% full pace, will be really interesting to see. I can't believe I'm saying this about my Jeeva, but she's coming towards the end. So she's not the powerhouse that she once was. They need her to be. They need her to be able to muscle up to the Janelle Fowlers of the league, because they do have some other great young talent in that defensive end. Obviously, Jodie Anne Ward is growing and growing as she goes, but they need that big body there. So I once again am refusing to drink the Collingwood Kool-Aid because they have stung me too many times already in the last few years, but it will be really exciting to see what that addition of Sophie Garben does. And does she potentially take a bit of pressure off Gabby Sinclair, you know, to not be one of the main avenues to goal along with Shimona Nelson? And will they be able to sort of switch and change that in the super shot period? That might be something I think that they can exploit, because they do have those two shooters that can shoot long if they need to, in Garben, and in Sinclair as well.
So we've all got our fingers crossed for Jeeva Mentor as well. But yeah, no, that's really, I think it that Sophie Garbin edition will be really interesting to see how that unfolds, definitely. And whether we'll be regretting not drinking the Magpie.
Who knows?
I mean, I feel like you and I have a habit of like absolutely writing something off and then like just
totally.
Like, well, that's what we're here for.
It's the journalist curse. That's how it goes. You get asked for opinion, and then 6 months later, you go, "Oh yeah, I got that one wrong, didn't I?"
Edit that one. Okay, so the Giants were, of course, 2021's minor premiers and last year's runners up. But they're looking quite different coming into the season, not least in the defending end after the departures of Sam Pullman and Christiana Manua. Then they also served up breakthrough star Maddie Hay last year. Do you think they can go one better and take the title? Where are we putting the Giants?
I think that depends a lot on April Branley's Achilles tendon, Chloe, to be honest. I'm hearing she's not going to be playing round one. We'll find that out in Australia sort of Thursday evening, whether she is named. But I am hearing that it's more serious. We haven't really seen her in this preseason at all. Achilles tendons, as someone who ruptured their Achilles tendon about 12 months ago, can confirm they're not to be messed with. It is a serious long-term injury. She's key when you've lost Sam Pullman. We're just talking about being able to body up to Janelle Fowler.
Yeah, no one does it better.
I think a lot of people would say if I was coaching against the Fever and I had a schoolyard pick, who am I taking at goalkeeper? It's probably Sam Pullman, right? Yeah. She's been the one that's been able to put the fear of God. Can I say the work Amy Parmena does out in front of her kind of helps as well. But I think, and I mean, so, Tilly McDonald, hugely exciting. You know, she's a great defender to watch. I'm actually a really big fan of hers. But losing Sam is absolutely huge. And Christina as well. As much as we didn't see all that much of her last year, she would probably be starting in this team this weekend if Brandley was out. You know, it's funny the way life changes. I think it does, you know, it really sits on April Branley's shoulders a little bit because she's that, you know, over 30 age group. She's been there. She's done that. She's been in the intensity of international competition. And as good as McDonald, and of course they've got Lauren Moore has come across from the Swifts as well. But I mean, I think we're talking about someone more, I think she might be 24 and Tilly's 21. Don't quote me on that. But, you know, we're talking about really young defenders. So her missing is absolutely huge. Down the other end, Joe will do what Joe does. I think we'll continue to see the rise and rise of Sophie Dwyer as well, really strong backup there. But then Maddie Hay, I think will, you know, she'll continue to grow as well. She really was a revelation last year for me. I know Sunday Ariang was, you know, really the rookie that went up in lights, but she's very workaby like Maddie. She just, you know, she just works really, really hard, and she has got, you know, that defensive edge to her work as well. And we know, you know, that Joe does that as well in the attack end for the Giants. But I think defensively is where it's going to hinge for the Giants.
Yeah. It may be a sense that this might not be the year, but maybe next year. It seems to me like it's there's almost too many moving parts. But yeah. Joe Martin at the back, who knows, to be honest.
Underestimate her at your peril, right? Yeah,
absolutely. Then Sunny Coast, has any team moved around as much as this team? Three international players left, including South African pairing, Carla Pretorius and Pumza Mweni. Pretorius, of course, on maternity leave, and Pumza is now at Team Bath. We've picked up Katie Ann Dehaney and Tara Hinchcliffe, so as much has gone out, has come in. And then, of course, I've been hearing rumours about another young gun goaler doing very well there. Where are we putting Lightning in the mix? Oh,
I think they're the biggest question mark for me. So much movement. It's one thing to say, you know, so-and-so have come in and so-and-so have come out. But when we're talking about a Ferrari in Carla Pretorius, right? And her partner who is somewhere close to that. I'm a big fan of Katie Ann Dehaney. I think she didn't get nearly as enough court time probably as, you know, she deserved potentially at the Vixens. We saw her have really big impact at different times, in her career there. So I'm really excited to see her get some really good court time. But she's not Pumza Moeni, and Hinchcliffe isn't Carla Pretorius, and Riley Bachelador, I presume that's the shooter, yes, that you touched on. Such an exciting prospect. And when, I mean, I think I heard Steph Wood the other day saying how she's just a sponge and wanting to learn, but then also saying that she's learning off of Riley as well, which is a pretty exciting thing for a diamond player to say. And I mean, very similar to, not in the way they play, but seemingly in the attitude to Rani Samson, that just going to turn and go to post and not be intimidated. But I think too, with these younger players, and this goes for Rani too, we see them in preseason, we see them in interclub games, and they really star. Defenders will start to work those players out. That's the difference, I think. Well, you know, when you come up against a Jeeva Mentor in a game for points, or a Courtney Bruce in a game for points, it's a different thing. And as the season goes on, depending on how much exposure they get, they do potentially start to get worked out. I think the Lightning might struggle, only because it's about meshing that team together, not because they're not not quality players. And, you know, having a pair of twins in a team is a pretty exciting prospect for Australian netball as well. But I think it's really hard to cover Pretorius. You know, we've got Prascovia Peace out as well, Anna Pumza Moeni. Maddie McAuliffe has left that group as well. So you think a couple of years back, this is a very different looking team, and I think it might just take some time for them to gel. And look, Chloe, watch, they'll win it now, because I've said that, right?
I'm not even gonna add, not I'm gonna say any more than that, because that.
Hi, it's Gretel Buetta, and you're listening to the Netball Show.
So last, and by no means least, of course, the Queensland Firebirds, and they've certainly kept everyone talking in the absence of action. Where do we even begin? Probably with the freshest news. Danelle Wallum has officially been named to this team as in the 10. Erin, how important, how big is this for Australian netball?
Huge. It's really, I mean, it's the worst kept secret in Australian netball, firstly. They officially announced it a couple of hours ago here. It's Wednesday morning in Australia. I believe they're going to announce it officially at a club function tonight. To have another Indigenous player come into our league is really significant. I mean, you guys have seen more of Danelle than a lot of us have here in Australia.
It's been a pleasure.
This is her first Super Netball contract. Really exciting player. We saw her again at the Team Girls Cup off the back of having had COVID and limited preparation. Really tore it up. Was pretty impressive to see the way that she was able to play and the confidence with which the partnership that she was. I mean, you could see that her and Gretel Buetta were building that on court. You know, it was a bit like a training session. You know, the fingers were going, are you going left? Am I going right? You know, what's sort of happening with the swing and that kind of thing. So, And she's also worked really hard. She's made a lot of sacrifices, obviously moving to the UK. And then, I mean, she's from Western Australia as well. You know, we're talking about thousands and thousands of kilometres from home. She went for 6 weeks to sort of try her luck. No promises were made or given about what might or might not happen for her. So really excited to hear that Danelle has got that news this morning, and that we're going to see her all this season. Obviously replacing Romelda Aiken-George, who's having a baby as well. So that's definitely the big news for them. Losing Tipper Dewan and losing Rudy Ellis and Tara Hinchcliffe is, you know, also big moves for the Firebirds as well.
Yeah, and also picking up Ebony Osuro-Brown from the UK, which I don't think anyone saw coming, certainly not from our side of the world. That was huge for her. And I think for a lot of us, her England prospects, I'm not sure if you had genuinely asked people to speak honestly, Ebony probably wasn't in the 12, the infamous 12 that everyone keeps talking mm-hmm. about over here, who's in Jess Thurby's 12. But now mm-hmm. that's a massive stake she's put down for this position, so to be in that squad, and it'll be really interesting to see how she manages. She's in a team with mums. It's that there's that great vibe coming out of the Queens and Firebirds as yeah. well. And then, you know, talking of mothers, we've got Kim Revelyan as well. On that, Erin, I have to ask, for the Diamonds, do you think the Diamonds that we saw in January are going to be the same that get called up, or is there room for a couple to wiggle in?
I do think that there is room for movement. I mean, I'm on the record as being absolutely shocked that Kim Revelyan wasn't in that quad series team. But anytime we have these conversations, you've got to think, well, who comes out? And it's not as if we've got people that are failing in the team, right? But I do think your Kate Maloney's and potentially your Jamie Lee Price's probably need to have a really, really good domestic seasons this year. I really do think Rav should be there. She's been at World Cup level. She's a proven winner. I mean, we've seen what she's been able to do since coming back from having her child, Georgie. So I think that's one to keep an eye on. Also, don't underestimate Kelsey Brown. I think she still has a chance to impress as well. She's going to be playing with Sophie Garbin. So combinations are something that Stacey Marinkovic has been really focused on in the past. So, I mean, if Collingwood finish second and Kelsey and Sophie are proving to be really formidable, maybe that makes room for her. I think Paige Hadley and Ash Brazel are probably a lock at this stage. But then, of course, you've got Kira Austin to potentially come back into that shooting end as well. But does she have enough time to get back to the form that she needs to be? You know, I think you've got to keep in mind there's only been those couple of games at international level the Diamonds have played this year. That's got to be in Marinkovic's thinking as well. These players have got to be ready to step into that, you know, really arduous tournament that a Comm Games is in terms of how many games you have to play. And then, I mean, the defense end as well, I think, you know, I feel like they're pretty tight. Obviously, when you've got Weston, Bruce and Clough, those three seem set. But, you know, do you look at Turner? Do you look at Sunday Ariang? Is she maybe a little bit young for a Comm Games?
Having that question over here with we've got this amazing talent in Fumifa Doju, who's 18, mm-hmm. and she keeps coming up, and all the stats are there, and you know, can she work her way in with Serena Guthrie coming out? It's a really interesting time for squads.
Well, I mean, they need extended squads for the Commonwealth Games, right? I mean, we've been saying this for a number of cycles now. You know, you need to be able to take 15 or 16. Obviously, all countries can't necessarily afford that. But when you're playing all of those games in quick succession, having those additional players, you know, would be advantageous for clubs and also gives those players that exposure at that level. But having the small, you know, having that tighter squad does make it really interesting for us to debate and discuss. But I do think there might be minor changes that come in and out. And, you know, the few players that I've spoken to this, you know, in preparation for this season, they're acutely aware of that. People love to say, oh, no, it's nothing. I'm all about my domestic season. I'm all about my club. That's nonsense. They know this is an 11-week season plus finals. You know, it's a job interview for Stacey Marinkovic to show what you can do on the world stage. Particularly the Diamonds have learned in the last few years those green and gold dresses don't come around all the time. You know, the Diamonds have missed a lot of netball in the last couple of years because of COVID and travel restrictions, things like that. I do think an extra premium is on that this year. And then obviously looking towards the World Cup next year, the first time we're going to see it in Africa as well, that's going to be in people's minds as well. And then as you said about Ebony Usoro-Brown, I mean, what a great way for her to make her job application to Jess Thirlby to come and play in the best league in the world. I think she's got a little way to go. I think she was good in Team Girls Cup in parts. I thought she looked a little bit off the pace in parts as well. She just got off a plane. She's just had a baby. I'm not suggesting that she was, you know, gonna be at peak, but she's gonna learn really fast, I guess, the difference between the different leagues that we have in, you know, across the globe now and what needs to be done at Super Netball level. And I think England fans probably need to remember she's going to have to play 20 minutes of a rule here in Australia with the super shot, which completely changes the entire art of defence. You know, every week in, week out, she's going to be doing that. So I think that's worth thinking about as well, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing for her and for England. But she's not going to die wondering. It's such a huge move to bring your, you know, young child all the way over the other side of the world for a shot. Potentially at a medal and to represent your country again.
God, I didn't want to end it on the super shot, but we did sort of. I almost wanted to avoid it.
You know how I feel.
But it does. It just always finds its way back in.
It does. Yeah, it's a hugely significant part of this league now, and it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. But I do think, speaking to players, I think the longer that it is in, I do think the more accustomed they are getting to it. I think in a positive way. The timeouts are the other key thing I think that gets missed a lot in these discussions, because those Diamonds players are used to being able to just halt momentum. And I know Marinkovic has been working with the Diamonds on how do they change that momentum themselves on the court. How do they identify something that is happening and be able to change it quickly without relying on a timeout?
Yeah, I think that's a biggie for me, certainly. For me, New Zealand seemed to be the best at changing momentum in a game. But we won't talk about them, because that's another conversation for another time. And one final note, Erin, the other thing that's happening is, of course, Super Netball is no longer on Nine. It's now got a new home on Fox Sports and KO, so it's going to look all shiny and new, and international fans can watch it on a streaming platform. We know now there might be more news coming out on that, I've been told, but I don't know for sure what yet, so I'll just leave that there.
Leave that hanging.
It will probably be announced after this comes out. No, where does this put netball in the Australian conscious?
Look, it's really interesting change to go behind a paywall in and of itself. Obviously, there's some people are concerned about that, but the two games on a Sunday will always be available for free to Australian fans. So I think that's significant. It's still through the KO platform, but you're able to access it for free with it, you know, registering with an email address and that sort of thing. So you are still able to see a couple. There's positive and negatives. We've already seen from Foxtel and KO a pretty big commitment to the coverage of the sport. You know, we've already seen the first magazine show has been launched, Centre Circle on a Thursday night, and then we're going to have a sort of round wrap show called Pivot on a Sunday. Lots of innovations coming in terms of in-game broadcast as well, being able to see into the team room and things like that. So I think it's a little bit like Collingwood, maybe, Chloe. You know, not going to drink the KO Kool-Aid just yet. Let's see how it unfolds. But they're clearly investing money and effort. And as is the case when something goes behind a paywall, KO, you know, is trying to position itself in the Australian market as the go-to for sports lovers. And I think that's really key, because you scroll across the screen on KO by sport. And, you know, I think that the thinking is there is that the rusted on fans will obviously always get on board. But then do you then capture those casual fans who come across a show on a Thursday night or a Sunday, or a game pops up that it's live, and be able to watch it? Because that's what we obviously need to convert. You know, we've got more than 1 million people playing netball in Australia, but we don't have 1 million people watching Super Netball. So can we capture some of those other eyeballs, those new eyeballs to the sport as well? So, I mean, the proof will be in the pudding, and they're obviously going to have the additional pressure of what happens with COVID. Do we see games rescheduled? Do we have to squeeze in? We've already got 2 midweek games in the fixture. Do they have to squeeze in some more? There's a lot of pressure there around that broadcast deal, and obviously netball bringing those viewers to the table for KO's investment over 5 years. But so far, so good. I think they're definitely towards an A or B mark at the moment, but let's see once we, you know, the full product is unfurled for us.
Certainly there's, we have this debate in with Sky Sports at the moment, is, you know, where's the line between being grateful and having expectations and raising criticism of what you get in the end, whatever product gets offered. So it will be really interesting to see if it does pick up new eyeballs. I think that is the perennial question with netball, like, as you pointed to, people that play it, why aren't they watching it, and how do we get them watching it? And, you know, not my problem.
Well, I mean, they have changed the time slots here. So traditionally, Super Netball has been on when I have been out playing my netball, Chloe, and I've had to come home and watch it on replay. They have moved entirely away from those time slots, right? So into 5 and 7 p.m.s and things like that on a Saturday. So it should be more accessible to both the grassroots. Some of those time slots are going to compete with the bigger sports here in Australia, but Fox Sport have said, bring it on. This is a tier one sport. We're going to treat it as a tier one sport, but the proof is going to be in the pudding as we get through the season and towards the end of the season.
Well, thank you so much, Erin, for all of that. I've learned so much. I can't imagine what somebody else is going to take away from this. But thank you so much for coming on and sharing your wisdom with us. I really appreciate it.
I don't know about wisdom and I don't know about Oracle, honestly.
Just embrace it. Just go with it.
Put it in thank the fire. You so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.